This is a podcast from the AHRC ICT Methods Network at www.methodsnetwork.ac.uk.
Thank you. Hello, Fargo. Nice to see you. I know that here in the audience today, we probably have the majority, I would say, are probably historians or have historical background, some description. So I'm going to be quite sort of basic with you in terms of the Oasis project and what we've achieved so far. I'm going to take you right back to basics. For those of you who know this inside out, especially my colleagues, do forgive me that you've heard this so many times before. It's been really interesting these past 2 days hearing all the problems and issues that are coming out of all the things on the history side of the heritage equation, if you like. And I was really thrilled by the end of yesterday when we got right to the last slide of the last presentation that Harold gave and has kindly given me permission to show this slide again. Some of the things that he was talking about that he thought would be pertinent to third generation digital resources. And if you can just quickly have a refresh your memory and have a look at this. There were certain things on this which really struck me as being something that we're really striving for in the Oasis project. Some of it we've sort of achieved, and some of it we're still a fair way off. So if you bear those in mind, and then I'll crack on. The Oasis project started in 1998. I don't like to think what I was doing in 1998, but it wasn't even archaeology or anything. So many, many moons ago, it started as a project funded to look at the problem of Grange, so the problem of concording certain sets of records about excavation, so the excavation index, which is held by English Heritage primarily, and to have a look at all that sort of information that was out there at an index level. The Oasis project aims, therefore, to take that information and make it accessible in one place and to act as signposts for this Grange show that Julian mentioned in his paper before me. The vast majority of this Grange literature, which now actually it was about 28,000 reports to 1999, the latest figures are more like 40,000 reports out there somewhere. Usually in hard copy, perhaps with a digital version of that hard copy. The vast majority of those come from the development control process to the planning process within the UK. The Oasis project is currently looks at just England, but we're hoping that that will spread to Scotland in October of this year, and Scotland will obtain the system as well. It's a system whereby archaeological units, whilst they're undertaking their work, input details about their work onto a database through the web. Variously along the way, different people have different levels of access to that database, and it's used so that the local authority archaeologists and then the people at a national level, the National Monuments Record archaeologists, are able to access the same data set and reuse that data to populate their own information systems. You can see from the picture of England that at the moment the take-up is quite high. The purple counties indicate the take-up from those particular local authorities. It's only an indicative map, but we're doing quite well, apart from Wales, obviously. So it's an online form, and you can see a little picture here to the right hand side which shows you the main basis of the form. It's split into five sections. It's to be used by all field workers. It records an event level data. So it's not everything that would be recorded by the local authority or indeed by the National Monument Record, but it's a very good start. The data, as I said, is accessible by both the Historic Environment Record, which is the name given to the local authority record, and the National Monuments Records as well. We've also recently added the ability to upload the Grange report at the same time, so you're not only creating the index level record, but you're able to upload the paper version as well, if you like. and therefore the record acts as metadata for the report. And it's quite rich metadata. It's actually 48 fields in a full OASIS report. A lot of those fields are repeatable, so if you find loads and loads of very exciting finds, you can record each and every one of them if you're so inclined. You see that when the form gets going, this slide shows a list of work which has been undertaken by a particular unit or Herefordshire. And there's lots and lots of information within each of those records that can be accessed. The lists here, the lists headed project details, project location, creators, archive and bibliography, are all basically, they're all the fields that there are within the form can be filled in. And all this information can be downloaded, both as OASIS XML, if you like, but also MIDAS XML. And MIDAS is a standard within archaeology for which an XML schema has been produced. The XML schema which is being produced was produced by Oxford Art Digital, a software developer who work almost exclusively for heritage agencies on behalf of FISH, or the Forum for Information Standards in Heritage, a group which the ADS are involved with, as are many other heritage agencies. And this is an example of what the XML actually looks like when it gets going. And you'll notice, obviously, that this is very, very similar to the sort of stuff that Julian was showing that Gail Falkingham had produced as a result of her encoding of a great literature report. When we started using OASIS XML, MIDAS XML hadn't been thought of, it hadn't been invented, and it was at the same time as we were starting to roll out OASIS, the OASIS project, which started in April 2004, that the FISH, Forum for Information Standards and Heritage, started to think about ways in which data could be exchanged. It all stemmed from moves towards big people like English Heritage wanting to be able to give their data, say their listed buildings data sets, to the relevant local authorities, and finding that every time they were doing that, they were having to come up with new ways of getting that data into individual data sets. So MIDAS XML and a range of tools actually which go with that were developed in order that people could start from the same basis, and that same flat basis is MIDAS XML. So what we did is we mapped all our OASIS data to the MIDAS XML schema using SSRT. What I wanted to say was actually that was quite a simple thing for us to do. I mean, I said that glibly because I didn't do it. But there are 66 elements in the OASIS XML schema. And the MIDAS XML schema consisted of 10 separate schemes in itself, so we needed to do a separate mapping to each one. And we created the three main schema of event, monument, and reference within that. The whole point about the MIDAS XML sort of basis was that if we could do it, then the vast majority of other people could do it. So if I was sat within a local authority, I should be able to undertake that mapping myself. I should be able to get down to that sort of basic level of using MIDAS XML and doing that mapping. So this is what it actually looked like when we undertook the mapping. And although that's probably quite a small thing to see, you can see that actually it was quite simple to come across knowing that what we were saying within our MIDAS XML was what we wanted to say. Within our OASIS XML was what we wanted to say and explain in the MIDAS XML schema as well. So basically, what we did, what we hope we have achieved, and which is currently being used, is this reuse of the XML as metadata, both within the HERs as the Historic Environment Record officers can go into the OASIS system and download the XML in whatever format they want, and they should be able to import it directly into their own systems. So being able to use this as a good tool for them to be able to fulfil their development control requirements in terms of being able to sign off a particular project. The data then goes on to be reused within the English Heritage Excavation Index as well, which we, the ABS, host on their behalf. And its third use in terms of metadata is to create metadata to accompany the actual reports which are associated with the record, which are held within, currently held within the ADS Grey Literature Library. So if you were to go to the ADS site and to search the English Heritage Excavation Index that we host on their behalf, this is the record that you get. You come up with. It's a site called Brimley Ponds, and it's in Worcestershire. And you'll see that there's some quite sort of basic level of detail there that you can actually have a look at, and you can search on any one of those, and that's actually can be pulled from this XML metadata. By clicking on this green area, green button here, we actually get the PDF of the report. And as Julian was saying, this is the bread and butter of what we do. This is the only record of what went on in Brimley Ponds. I'm sure not very much went on at Brimley Ponds, but had it been a Roman villa, this would be the only surviving record of it in paper terms, probably. Similarly, looking at it from the other end, we've currently started, as a result of this, a Grey Literature Library, which I think hosts about 500 reports at the moment, but we've got big plans. And similarly, we can search within that on a more sort of bibliographic type search, but pulling all the data in from the XML that we've produced, that's been produced for us actually by the unit, to get back to exactly the same report, the survey of Brimley Ponds. And of course, as we know, that XML can be reused by any one of the people who have access to it in exactly the same way, to do exactly the same thing. And the important part is that they're all singing from the same hymn sheet. It's all the same information that we're all using. It's been so many times that the HER officer will have a slightly different record from that which went into the NMR and from that which ended up on the ADS side. But hopefully no more. So we're quite pleased with how ACES has been going. It's been a long time in the coming, and I know that in the last few days we've had discussions about how to get standard to be accepted by the community. That's one of the reasons why I said that OASIS started in 1998. It has been a long and sometimes hard fought battle to try and get lots of people on board for all those barrier reasons that Julian mentioned at the end of his paper. It was very difficult to try and get over to people that they actually had to become involved in the project and have some say in the project if they wanted the situation to change. There was general consensus that the situation should change. It's just getting people to work towards it together that's been a bit more sticky. But we're riding our high at the moment, and so we're going to grasp the nettle and go for it and have a look at the backlog. We're about 40,000 backlog, a snip, we'll do that by next week. Hopefully in what is going to be the Glade project, and that's nothing to do with air fresheners, before Julian says anything. It is the Access, Dissemination and Enhancement Project, which we are hoping to get English Heritage funding for, hoping to start sometime this year. What the Glade project will be looking at is different ways that we can come up with in order to be able to try and pull together and make accessible all that backlog of Grey literature. And there's lots of different thoughts we've had about how we're going to do it. The one that uses XML is to produce a mini OASIS form that people can put in a bare minimum of information, attach their report to, and then submit in much the same way as OASIS already does, lots of bureaucracy, but without the validation process. This is built into OASIS. We've got lots of other ideas about how to do that, some very prosaic, some very whiz-bang. We might just use take other people's databases and use the contents of the database to associate with the report and thereby produce metadata that way. There might be some very sort of hard slog ways, there might be some quite whizzy ways. And we were talking over lunch about this way that perhaps we can use armadillo type technology to actually create metadata from within the documents. Our problem obviously with all this is the time and money factor of getting people to go back over their backlog, and how are we going to actually do that? Is it goodwill or good payment? I'm not quite sure. But we're looking at some quite exciting ways also of reusing that XML, not just within the ADS catalogue, but for all the partners within this process to reuse as well. And we've been undertaking some initial talks with medieval archaeology people, editors are quite interested in being able to use the information that we pull out of OASIS in order to be able to produce electronically their yearly list of work that's been undertaken on medieval sites, and to have that available online electronically rather than in paper form. So they could do that automatically with the use of XSLTs. It would appear on their website with their style sheets and be absolutely marvellous. It's just what they're after. So there's quite a few interesting things we're thinking of in terms of reusing this data. So really, this was just a very quick whiz through what OASIS is and how we've used XML and how XML has worked for us in lots of different ways. It's a means of data transfer from database to database. It's a means of data being produced by one set of people and the same data set being used by 3, 4, 5 other communities to produce their own records. It's a means of web dissemination, of data dissemination online, and probably importantly, as far as we with our archival hats on, is a form of metadata creation to accompany deposits within the archive. And that's me, I think.